Good evening, one and all. Welcome to our midweek church service on this Wednesday, the 19th of April, 2017. I pray that God has blessed you through the first part of this week with health and vitality and growth in grace, and I pray that he will continue in the remaining part of this week. Welcome also to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and it's good to be back in fellowship with you. Our opening song is Revive Us Again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has brought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. And we need to be revived each morning, to be renewed with the Spirit of grace falling upon us and rekindling our love for God. I invite you all to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we meet here in the name of Jesus, and we ask that your presence will be here. Take control of this meeting and control of all willing hearts. And thank you, Father, so much for doing so. Dear Savior, we pray that your presence will be here in our midst, and the bright beams of your righteousness and truth will indeed scatter all darkness from our hearts. Scatter our night and allow us to see the blazing glory of your character, your love, and the truth. And thank you so much for doing so. And dear Spirit, we pray that thy presence will be here. Please lead and guide us into all truth, away from all error. Please remove the barriers of custom and tradition, preconceived ideas and opinions, and let these all be blown away, that we may behold just the truth as it shines from our Savior. And thank you for doing so. Dear Savior, I pray that as our great physician and the great physician of your people around the world, that you will please be with each one who needs your healing grace, whether spiritually or mentally or physically. Help them to look to thee for help, for healing. And thank you for making them and us whole. Continue to speed thy truth around the world. And thank you so much that you have allowed us to have life in just such a time as this. Help us indeed to fulfill our responsibilities or to recognize what those responsibilities are. And thank you for the grace and strength to be a wise and faithful servant in all areas. For we love you, Father, and we thank you for loving us. So please grace us with a knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So welcome, one and all. We're continuing in our study book of Romans, and we're down to verse 9 in chapter 13. And the last thing that we were discussing before we ended on last Wednesday meeting was that we were to love one another, that we were not to love only ourselves or love only our favorites, but to truly love one another. And Paul, before this verse 9 in chapter 13, was talking about how we can't treat those that are rich better than we treat those that are poor. Nor can we treat those that are humble in a different way than those that have a lot of responsibilities. But we're to treat everyone the same, because in Christ Jesus, there is no longer free or bond, no longer male or female. We're all equal in him, and thus our love for one another needs to be without any type of prejudice or barriers. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law of God. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So Paul here brings up the aspect of the last six commandments of the Ten Commandments, or those commandments that were written on the other tablet. There were two tablets, and the first had the first four commandments on it, and the second tablet had the last six. So Paul here is dealing with the commandments that were written on the second table of stone, dealing with loving our neighbor as ourselves. And who is our neighbor? It's not just the person living next door. Amen. Our neighbor is all of humanity. Anyone we come in contact with can be considered to be our neighbor. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, for love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, what does this mean, love worketh no ill to his neighbor? Any ideas? What if your neighbor comes onto your property and you see him and he steals your ox? If you're to work no ill to him, does that mean you just let him go ahead and steal your ox without complaining or trying to stop him? Without reporting him to the police? Not at all. So this aspect of love here can take on a negative aspect that is really for the best of your neighbor. So if your neighbor comes onto your property and steals your ox, and there's no way that you can stop him other than getting into a physical fight, which you're not to do, you're to report them to the police. The police will then come and take care of the situation, and hopefully it's a just police that will allow your ox to be returned to you. Now, reporting your neighbor to the police can be looked upon as a very negative thing. So does that mean you do not love him because you did something negative to him? And again, the answer is no. If you allow your neighbor to break God's law with impunity and you do nothing to try and stop them, to try and hinder them, or to try and make them recognize that what they did was wrong, then you're a party, you're responsible for the thievery. So this aspect of love worketh no ill to his neighbor is not just in the aspect of a negative sense, it's in the aspect of not allowing your neighbor to break God's law without trying to stop them. Now, if your neighbor comes and hits you, you're not to hit them back because love worketh no ill. Love does not break God's law to their neighbors. If your neighbor steals from you, you're not to turn around and steal from them because that would be breaking God's law and working ill to your neighbors. But reporting them to the police for stealing from you is not working ill to your neighbor. It's in fact helping them to escape from destruction by recognizing that stealing is wrong, that there's punishments for those who steal and break God's law. So this shows us that the aspect of love has both a positive as well as a negative aspect. The negative is you've turned your neighbor to the police, but that negative can be viewed as a positive because you're trying to get your neighbor to recognize that they've broken the law and there's consequences for that. Question in the room, it says, what if someone grabs a woman's baby and runs off with it? Well, you're definitely to give chase. You're to try and prevent that individual from stealing that man or woman child. And I would hope that you're not the only one chasing after them, that there's some other individuals that have enough decency and regard for human life that they are going to call the police and they're going to drive a car and follow where they're running or get a license plate and et cetera. The Bible talks about if you see your neighbor's ox breaking out of the crib, the stall, and walking down the road or going across the field and off into the wilderness, you're not just to allow that ox to escape without trying to bring it back to his owner. If you allow that ox to escape, then your inaction is working ill to your neighbor, because you could have done something to stop that ox being lost. So even though you didn't do anything whatsoever to your neighbor, yet by ignoring the loss of his property, you would be working ill to him. It's the same with the person stealing the child. You're to do everything you can to stop that theft so that you don't work ill to his or her parents. So love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Amen. It's in accordance with God's law. If you keep God's law, there's no way you can work ill to your neighbor. If you break God's law, well, I'm sorry to hear that it happened to you, but what would you do about that situation? If it was me, I would try to stop it, even if I had to offer my head in my mother's head's place. I would try to do anything and everything I could to prevent that within the limits of God's will. There's going to be situations in which the devil is going to place God's people and try to get them, out of love for their parents, for their children, for their spouses or friends, to compromise their faith in order to prevent the harm that is threatened against their loved ones. And the position is going to be put to us, almost an impossible position, that if we don't bow to the commandments of men and disobey the commandments of God, that violence is going to be done to our loved ones. What are you going to do in that situation? Are you going to stand for God and allow violence to be done to your loved ones? Perhaps your mother being hit over the head with a 2x4? Or are you going to concede or compromise your faith in order to prevent harm coming to your loved ones? Who do we love more? Amen. God, Jesus Christ. He that loveth father or mother, wife or husband, son or daughter more than Jesus is not worthy of Jesus. So when it comes right down to it, we ought to obey God rather than churches, rather than men, regardless of what position of authority they have. And for individuals that put you in that impossible position of compromising your faith or your loved ones are going to be harmed, they are the guilty ones, not you. If you stand for God and harm comes to your loved ones, it's not you that brought the harm. It's the persecutors that brought the harm. They bear all the guilt. You don't. all you're doing is deciding to serve God first and foremost because He alone is worthy. And in following God, God will then allow the best possible situation, knowing all things, to happen to your loved ones. If they happen to die because of your choice to serve God, and they believe in God, then their eternal life is secure. They've died for the faith. So you have nothing to worry about. You're not the one that killed them. You chose to stand for God. Your persecutors are the ones that killed them, and they will have to bear that guilt in the judgment. So determine to stand for God regardless of the cost, even if it's to your loved ones because of your stand for God. Continuing. Verse 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So not our own armor, not our own garments, our own sin-stained filthy rags, but the armor of Christ's righteousness. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. So there's not to be any strife among God's people, or we're not walking honestly as in the day. There's not to be any envying among God's people, or we're not walking honestly. We're walking dishonestly. There's not to be any rioting. In other words, we're to have order and discipline among our fellowship meetings, our gatherings. There's not to be unruliness, independent action. There's also not to be drunkenness. We're not to have intoxicating wine or false doctrine inebriating us. But we're to have only the truth, the pure juice of the Word of Life. And the only way to do this is to have self crucified and Jesus reigning in our hearts at all times. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now when we see this word lust, a lot of times we only look upon the sexual type of lust. But Paul here is not dealing only with that form of lust. He's dealing with all of the desires of the flesh, all of the passions of human nature. So the passion of anger can be looked upon as a lust, a desire. Feelings of various kinds are also termed lusts or desires. So we're to have on Jesus Christ. We're not to have on self, but Jesus. And if we have Jesus on us, if we're allowing him to live his life through us, exhibiting only his character, then there's no way that these desires of the flesh, these feelings, these lusts are going to be able to manifest themselves, because self is not put on, but Jesus is put on. And that's the only way to be a true Christian, is to have Christ in our hearts, self crucified. And thus what we think, how we feel, the urges of our nature, the desires of our flesh, all of these lusts are going to be kept in check. And only what is Christ-like will be exhibited. So it's time to wake out of sleep. The coming of our Lord is nearer than when we first believed. We need to cast off these works of darkness that we've given into so many times. And we need to put on the armor of Christ's righteousness, that he may live through us, and not self. So when you're reproved for doing something against God's word, against God's will or commands, and you feel self rising up, clamoring to fight against the reprover, to keep from admitting you did wrong, to try and escape that admission, crucify it. Allow Christ to live through you. Don't make any provision for that feeling to arise and be exhibited through you. But allow God's grace to nip it in the bud so that it can't bear fruit. Amen. Give it to the Lord. And then you don't have to worry about it. Let him take care of it. So let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us put on his robe of righteousness, his armor of light, and let self be dead. And this is my prayer. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies that you'd like to give before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please feel free. Let us open it up to a season of prayer. Shall we pray? Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know all things, that you are in control of every situation. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us to view things from your perspective, if that is possible, and not from our own. Help us to submit ourselves to thee, to allow you to live and to move and to manifest yourself through us to others, and to truly fulfill the law of love. Help us to love you first and foremost, and also our neighbors as ourselves, the people that we meet, that we may reveal the Lord in all aspects. Help us not to make provision for our desires, our urges, our passions, but to have these all crucified and submitted to your will. And thank you so much for doing so. Father, please help us not to be wise in our own eyes. Help us to recognize that we're foolish, but you are all wisdom. And help us to look to thee, trust in thee, and expect help from thee at all times. And thank you so much for being there, a God close at hand and not one far off. Father, we know that we're at the end. We know that things are going to keep heating up in the world, and we're going to find ourselves the subject of ridicule and persecution because of our stand for thee and thy truth. Please help us to determine each and every day to stand for you regardless of the cost. Help us to be faithful in the little things so that we might also be faithful in the larger things when they come. Please continue to hear and answer our prayers. Continue to work to deliver us from whatever situation we may find ourselves in. And we thank you, Father, for thy loving care and compassion and tenderheartedness to each one. Pray, dear Father, that you'll be with the work all around the world. Be with the work in Zambia, and please help the funds to be raised for the printing venture of the materials to pass out to those that are hungering and thirsting for the word of life. Be with our traveling evangelists and ministerial brethren. Protect them. Bless their efforts. And let an abundant harvest of precious souls be garnered out of Babylon into your kingdom of righteousness. We thank you so very much for allowing us to meet in this room, to meet in other home churches around the world. And please help us to savor these special times of communing with thee and with one another as a little taste of heaven. Please shut Satan out of our midst, out of our hearts, and help us indeed to fulfill your prayer for unity, oneness, and closeness to each other as you are close to your Son. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Well, a scripture song comes to mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:1-11. Well, dear ones, as you heard in the prayer, there's a request from our dear brother Willington for enough money to be able to print materials that the people really need there in Zambia. And so if the Lord so impresses your heart to help in that area, please contact our dear brother Willington or contact myself, and I'll be able to get the funds over to him. So please keep that in your prayers, and may God's perfect will be done. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any other songs, testimonies that you'd like to give, dear ones, before we close? Please feel free.
Thank you, Brother Seswa. It's all the same request. Last week, I communicated to Seswa when he received a letter from Zambia from a certain brother who demanded the separation part 1 and part 2 books. I traveled to Ndola, about 300 kilometers, to meet Brother Edward and to hear more about this request from his town. And for sure he confirmed, because there are so many people there who need booklets, and the church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, also does read a few books that they corrected, Brother Ed. And there is fire in the church now. People are looking a lot of this because the truth on separation message, and the rest that they need more and more books so that they can be distributed in many churches and in many areas. Besides this, by God's grace, I did some retro contribution to the that we have in Shingle, which is taking about 3 weeks, and now a week as where I look the same material that are coming, and then also more help in prayer and in any other things that may be of great help to support our work in Chingora. May God bless you. Thank you very much for your usual support. Thank you, brethren.
You're welcome, dear brother, and thank you for bringing the need to our attention. And we will indeed keep it in prayer, and the Lord will indeed work upon hearts. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision to fulfill your desires and lusts contrary to his will. Continue growing in grace, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Psalm 71, 1, 2, 3. The mighty rock Christ Jesus is our fortress.